It's Schlereth and Evans on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Comedian Adam Ray will join us here in about 12 minutes. All right, so strap on your tinfoil cap. Ready for this one?
Yes.
Tom Brady, quarterback of the Broncos next season. It's not as far-fetched as you think. Let me tell you why. First of all, we had him come out last week and say, yeah, you know, somebody gives me a call, I'll listen. This is a guy who didn't play last year and would be 47 years old this year. But the last time he played, just 2 years ago, he threw the most passes in a season that he had thrown in his entire career. Dude threw the ball 733 times, completed 490 passes, 67% of his passes for 4,700 yards and 25 touchdowns. You telling me that he's lost the ability to throw a football? Uh-uh. Now, what makes it even more spicy? When Sean Payton walked away from the Saints, it wasn't because he was burned out from coaching. It's because the plan was for him and Tom Brady to go to Miami and coach and play quarterback for the Dolphins. The plan was put in place. Stephen Ross, a Michigan guy, the owner of the Dolphins. You can look all this up, by the way. It's the worst kept secret in the NFL that they were going to do it. So much so that the Dolphins ended up getting dinged for tampering charges.
Right. Dinged draft picks.
But the plan was that Tom was going to come from Tampa to Miami. Sean was going to come from New Orleans to Miami. They were going to team up for the Dolphins that year. Well, why did it not happen? Well, because Brian Flores, who had been fired by the Dolphins in order to make this work, had his lawsuit against the Dolphins. And because of that and how it would look if you hired Sean Payton and Tom Brady, Stephen Ross backed off the plan and it never came to fruition. And at that point, Sean had already cut ties with the Saints. And so he took the year off and did TV.
Right, because Brian Flores was the head coach. They ended up firing him, and they fired him simply because they were going to bring in Sean Payton. Then he had the big lawsuit against him. Here's the other thing that's really interesting, why we have the tinfoil hats on, is that I remember people laughing. I mean, just absolutely going, really, this guy? When Brady was at 36, 37 years old, playing, you know, for the Patriots, you know, still at a super high, all pro, you know, best in football level, saying, shoot, the way I feel like I played till I was 50. And he was dead serious at the time, and myself included. We all kind of, if all the time is eventually going to get you, but we all kind of chuckled about that. Dude, he's like, I'm dead serious. If that guy wanted to play, do I think he could still be one of the top five quarterbacks in football? You're damn right I do.
So this, to me, I don't think I'm making some preposterous claim here. You're talking about Brady leaving the door definitely open to playing again. We already know that he endorsed the idea of working with Sean and that Sean endorsed the idea of working with Tom. It was set to go in Miami that year.
Correct.
So why not here? And think about where it makes so much sense. So let's say you draft a quarterback at 12.
Okay.
You draft Bo Nix. Okay. I think that most veteran NFL coaches understand that a lot of these quarterbacks coming out of college, they're not ready for the NFL yet.
Right.
And that they would benefit from a redshirt year. Saw it with Aaron Rodgers. Saw it with Patrick Mahomes. Saw it with Brady. Brady didn't start playing for the Patriots until his second year in the NFL. You're seeing it now with Jordan Love. There would seem to be plenty of evidence that a year of seasoning and sitting behind somebody wouldn't be the worst thing for a rookie quarterback. Can you imagine a rookie quarterback sitting behind Tom Brady for a year? Can you imagine the benefit of that?
Right.
And look at it this way, because we all know if the Broncos draft a quarterback at 12 and then try to come out and say, hey, you know, we believe that, you know, not ready yet, need some seasoning, need some time to learn, and he's going to sit behind Jarrett Stidham. Can you imagine the fans' reaction to that?
Right. As soon as Jarrett Stidham throws three picks in a game, and doesn't.
Three picks? A three and out?
Yeah.
They're going to start losing their minds. So this way, you mute all of that. All of that goes away. Because Brady's here. He's got the seal of approval from Sean Payton. And everyone's so fixated on Brady. The kid can just
soak it all in.
Perfect.
And I'm telling you.
Or if you don't even draft a quarterback and people are mad that you didn't draft a quarterback and you draft a football player at 12 instead. But now here comes Brady to be your quarterback this year. Again, people would be like, well, okay. I see the wisdom in that.
I can tell you firsthand knowledge of veteran all-pro players. Like all-pro players. Going, dude, I thought I worked hard. I thought I was dedicated. I thought I prepared. I thought. Until Brady walked into the Tampa Bay Buccaneers organization. And they were like, oh, shoot. I got to pick up my game.
And by the way, for those saying, come on, he's going to be 47. He's washed. Well, here's what he did in his age 44 and 45 seasons.
Okay.
2 years. At age 44 and 45, he completed 980 passes.
Right.
He threw 1,450 passes.
So he completed about what? 67%?
67%. For 10,000 yards.
On the fly, Johnny.
For 10,000 yards.
It. Yeah, I'll go ahead. Sorry.
And 68 touchdowns.
We're still here!
Okay? Mm. 44 and 45. Dude threw almost 1,500 passes. Completed over 900 of them. Threw for 10,000 yards. And 68 touchdowns at age 44 and 45. You telling me he couldn't still play at 47?
Can I hop in real quick?
Yeah. Sure. Go ahead there, Fever.
I mean, I feel
a wet blanket coming here.
Well, it's a great perspective from the Broncos perspective in Broncos country. What makes you think Tom Brady even looks at this roster and is like, I can win a Super Bowl
with this roster? The two teams he mentioned last week when he said he'd be open to taking the phone call were the Patriots and Raiders. Neither one of those teams are ready to win a Super Bowl.
Farther along than the Broncos are.
But what makes this one different? Sean Payton's here. And he's already ready to hook on with Payton in Miami a couple years ago.
So then what do you think Brady would rank higher in series of importance, the head coach or talent on the roster? Because he can run the offense by himself. He can be his own head coach, but if he doesn't have the talent that he can coach up, it's useless.
I'm not saying the Broncos would necessarily be the lead favorite here in all this. If a bunch of teams were interested, I'm not saying the Broncos would be a favorite, but the presence of Sean Payton and the history between Brady and Payton and what they were ready to do in Miami just a couple years ago should put the Broncos near the top of that list.
Plus, Brady, I'm sure Brady thinks he can take guys, and because of his ability to execute, they can have a legitimate opportunity to be, you know, to win a lot
playoffs.
Of
playoffs.
Man,
I got you excited about this.
From your lips to God's ears.
I just don't.
I love Tom Brady.
I guarantee you, one guy that won't miss a training camp practice.
That's true.
I'll be out there with a big sign,
Tom, over
and
here.
And that's no cap.
I'm telling you, the moment I heard Brady say what he said last week, I went, because this Peyton Brady thing was real. It was going to happen.
Yes. Yep.
Till that pesky Brian Flores ruined it all. Coming up next, comedian Adam Ray. He needs to. He's from Seattle. He needs to work Seattle owning us into his next act at the Comedy Works.
Yes.
That'll go over well here in Denver. He should try that out. Maybe you can try it out with us next.
With an advanced network, cybersecurity solutions, and trusted partnership,
Comcast Business powers more businesses than anyone. Comcast Business, powering possibilities.
Get started with internet and security for your small business for $49.99 a month for 12 months with a 2-year contract. Plus, ask how to get up to an $800 prepaid card with qualifying internet. Call today. Ends 5/5/24. Restrictions apply. New customers only with 50 megabits per second internet and security edge. Eco bill and auto pay required. Equipment, taxes, and fees extra.
You're listening to Schlereth and Evans on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
You know, for years we have been promoting the comedians that are coming through the Comedy Works, whether it be right over here by us at Landmark or downtown, and especially love shining a light on the real up-and-coming comedians in the business, and this guy is certainly it. Adam Ray is going to be performing at Comedy Works downtown Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, and he joins us right now on the Johnson Auto Plaza hotline. Good morning, Adam.
Guys, long time listener, first time caller. Sorry about Russell Wilson, but great to be here.
Yeah. Were you part of the contingent of Seattle people? Because I know you're from Seattle, that sold us a lemon and completely screwed us. I mean, were you part? Did you know what was about to go down here in Denver?
Oh, yeah, dude. I mean, I'd already seen a rough cut of his Subway commercial. I knew you guys were effed. I mean, that was just the beginning of the end. No, to be honest with you, and Mark, how are you, by the way?
I'm
here because of Mark Schlereth, but I'm a big fan of Evans. I've got a giant headshot.
Some other guy.
Above my bedroom wall. First of all, speaking of the signed headshot, the first celebrity I ever met was a weatherman in Seattle named Steve Poole. RIP. I think he's dead. Isn't it funny when you go, I think that guy, like, I thought Bob Barker died like 30 years ago, but but then everyone's like, no, he's still alive. But Steve Poole, I ran into him at an aquarium in Seattle. Don't worry, the story gets better. And he took out a headshot of himself when I was like, hi, are you Steve Poole? And he goes, yeah, here's a picture. I was like, I mean, I don't really want this, but like, and then he also told me to lay off the snacks because I was a fat kid. And I was like, good God. Like, it was my first taste of getting like, you know, verbally chastised by an adult. That, and then the second time was when I was 10 and my best friend's dad was 80, which I didn't know you could do. I didn't know you could hit 70 and go, I'm going to start a family. And he used to say to me after soccer games, I'm surprised you can see the ball with your big old boobies bopping you in the face. So anyway, yeah, Russell Wilson, man, I don't know, dude. I think we, you know, we got rid of him at the right time. I was sore about it, but I honestly thought he was going to just like, you know, there was talk about that division being one of the best, you know, seasons for a division in a long time, and it just was not that. But I have faith still that he's going to turn things up a notch. I don't think he's a bad football player by any means. I think he's been humbled, I'll say that. But also, I don't know because I don't talk to the guy. So it could be more of the same. But, I mean, maybe one of the biggest, like, oops-a-daisies in sports. I don't know about ever. But, man, that's – I mean, nobody saw that coming. I mean, can we blame it on the altitude or Sierra or the pot? Like, what do you blame it on? What is Denver claiming that contributed to the responsibilities of the Russell Wilson experiment?
I suppose just his overall suckitude. So, anyhow, and the lack of authenticity. There's so many things that just drive you crazy. Adam, it's always good to connect with you. Hey, real quick, you know, Mike introduced you as an up-and-comer, but one of the things my dad used to tell me all the time is overnight success usually takes about 7 to 15 years.
Yeah.
You've been grinding at this, and you have done an unbelievable job, and there's so many avenues between your YouTube channel and the stuff you do on social media. That's how I started following you on the social media stuff, because you I think it was your character was Shane. You used to just, like, it was hilarious, some of the stuff you would do. But I wanted to know how being Uber Driver 2 in 2017 of Curb Your Enthusiasm, how that really catapulted your career to what you're doing now.
Yeah, I mean, well, I appreciate the nice words. Yeah, it's so funny. It's sometimes you can grind it out for 17 years like I've been doing, or you can be on TikTok for 3 days and have a couple dances go viral, and now you're selling out stadiums. And, you know, there's no wrong way to eat a Reese's, but, like, you definitely – like, I've been at Comedy Works downtown probably coming up on 10 to 12 times, and this is, you know, my first time where we've added a show because all the others sold out. We only have tickets available for Thursday's 9:45, the show that we added, because all the other ones sold out, which is awesome. And it's way more fun when people are coming to the show for you. Like, there's just an added level of energy. It's like I'm always bringing it on stage and always have a good time, whether it's 20 people or 400. But, like, there's just an added layer of excitement. And you feel that, like, you know, between the fourth wall. But, yeah, man, Curb is my favorite show. So I'll be honest. After I auditioned for it, I was like, I don't even care if I get this, because I just got to improvise with Larry David for 20 minutes, and I made him laugh a bunch, and, you know, it was truly outer body. I'm sitting in front of him in the audition room. I'm facing Jeff Schaefer, who's one of the producers and directors, and Larry Charles, who was one of the directors and directed Borat and Bruno and The Dictator, and Jeff Garland's there, and then the casting director, and Larry's behind me, and I'm listening to him as I'm talking to him, and, I mean, it was... You know, I was pretty dialed in, but there are moments where I was just like, I feel like I'm listening to the show right now. You know what I'm saying? Because we just started to kind of build a fight. And then I ran into him at the Comedy Store about 6 months later after we shot the episode. And Harlan Williams from Half Baked and Something About Mary is a good buddy of mine. And he was sitting on the patio with me. And he goes, oh, look at this Larry David, some guy walking down the street. And Harlan's a goofy guy, so I'm like, oh, it's probably some bald older guy that he's just calling Larry David. And I look up, and it's actually Larry David, and I'm like, get out of here. I'm like, I should say hi to him, I guess? And he's like, yeah, why not? So I walk up. I'm like, he's probably not going to remember me. And as soon as he sees me, he goes, Adam. I was like, oh, what's up? He's like, we were just editing your episode. It's so funny. And I'm like, dude, you look lost. He's like, I haven't been to the Comedy Store in 37 years. And so I was like, dude, you want me to show you around? And he's like, please. So now I'm walking around the Comedy Store, Larry David. All my buddies who are door guys are looking at me like, what is happening right now? And I'm like, stay cool. Don't ruin this for me. And we walk around the store. We sit in the back of the original room, which is that first room right up front, which is one of the best rooms in comedy. And we watch some of the show. And Pete Davidson at the time, I think, was dating his daughter. And Larry was about to do SNL. And so Pete was like, come work out your monologue on the show that I'm on. And they convinced Larry to do it, and he crushes. It was really cool, too, because Larry's just not known for popping around doing stand-up. If people announce Dave Chappelle, people go nuts, right? But there's, like, it's somewhat known that, like, oh, there's a chance he's very much in the scene, right? There's a chance that he might, I mean, there's not a chance he'd pop up anywhere, but if you hear him announced, you freak out, but then you're also like, oh, yeah, he's doing stand-up all the time. But Larry David, it was like, nobody was expecting that, so everyone was confused. There was, like, slow claps, and then all of a sudden he walked on stage, and, like, I've never seen a bigger standing ovation. And then he murdered, and then he gave me a handshake when he walked out and goes, let's do this again sometime. And then I was really close to asking him for his email to see if he wanted to get coffee, and I didn't, because I was like, oh, maybe I'll run into him. And I told Jeff Garland, and he's like, it's good he didn't ask him. He wanted to give it to you.
Adam Ray, joining us. He's performing at the Comedy Works Thursday, Friday, Saturday downtown. All sold out except for shows. The 9:45 show tomorrow. So get your tickets at Comedy Works. Adam, you know, so many comedians are known for doing their great impressions, and it just seems like a natural. How in the world did you find that connection with Dr. Phil?
Oh man, you know what? I would watch Dr. Phil reruns during COVID, and I was just like fascinated with like this guy's ability. You know, we're all sitting around drinking way too much and just watching stuff you probably never watched because you're like, oh, this is probably the end of the world. So I'm like, I might as well go out watching the worst stuff. And I'd see these Phil reruns, and I just could not stop laughing at how the contrast of him trying to help people, but then also throwing the commercial break at the most inopportune times. And like every time it would just be like, you know, he's talking to some 10-year-old boy and he's like, Nathan, look at me right now. You're 11 years old, but you look 55. Okay. I hate your face. You got a crap attitude. Okay.
you remind me of Mike Evans, okay, who's truly one of my least favorite people. You got gonorrhea on your breath, and I want to smack you, but I'm not going to, but I need you to know that I could. Give me one reason why you're not a loser, Nathan, and I'll give you 10 reasons why everyone in your family wishes you were dead. We'll be right back. And he was always doing a commercial, and I was like, dude, is he trying to be this funny, or is he just, like, the best at comedic timing? And it was like, and then it shows. It's like, he would always give these teasers where I was like, dude, this guy does not want you to change the channel. He's like, on today's show, my next guest has a UTI but a PhD. Please say hello to Stephanie. And I was like, dude, the combinations on some of these guests. So I was doing these Adam Ray and Friends shows at the Comedy Store, and Bill Burr was a buddy, and he was confirmed to do it. And then I was like, Bill, I'm thinking about dressing up like Dr. Phil doing a late night show. I don't know what it looks like, but would you be down to be the guest? And he was like, dude, yes, let's do it. I can't wait. Make fun of my anger issues. And so that first one kind of took off and got like a million views on YouTube in a few days. And now we've had on, you know, just had on Jelly Roll and Pete Holmes. And we got Bert Kreischer coming up in May, and Tom Segura and Dax Shepard and Sal O'Connell from Impractical Jokers. We've had Whitney Cummings, Nikki Glaser, Matt Rife, Brad Williams. My boy Brad Williams, who I think has been on your show, right?
He's a Denver guy.
He's
yeah.
a Denver guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Brad's a Denver guy. Brad is one of my best buds. He's 4'4". He could be under your chair, so check before you leave the studio, Mike. And Brad is one of those guys that is just down for whatever. Like, it's one of the best things I love about him is he's, you know, he's just like, yo, if it's funny, I'm down. And so we had, for a Christmas episode, Brad come out and dress up as Santa's head elf. And he came out tossing candy canes into the crowd. And I bought him an elf suit, and he gave me his size, and it fit like a glove. And it's just like, you know what? You can see it on the package. You can envision what your buddy dressed as an elf would look like. But until you see it live, you don't know the true joy that you can feel as a human until you see a grown man. I mean, Brad is so good. Brad and I would, when I would go on the road with him, you know, he's about 10 years on me stand-up-wise. I'm 17 years in. He's almost, I think, 25, 27. And which is like, you know, which is like 50 years in regular size people years. And so Brad, we would be in the elevator, like in a mall killing time between shows. And you'd see these kids or dad walk in that have never seen a live dwarf before. So they're a little, you know, a little side eye to Brad. And so I just look down at him and go, I'm so proud of you, son. And then Brad would just look up and go, thanks, Dad. Why do I have a full beard? And you could see this, like, father-son being like, dude, how old is that kid? You know what I'm saying? So funny.
Adam, man, you're the best. Always great to connect, man. Yeah, appreciate you so much. And we'll keep sending people over to Comedy Works and sell that thing out and kill it this weekend, man. It's going
to
be great.
I appreciate it. Yo, and a quick shout-out to our mutual friends, Wyman and Bob. Bob has the body of a 35-year-old, you know, PE teacher, and Dave has the body of a 67-year-old Filipino woman. That being said, they're good dudes. They obviously are homies. But I do want to ask you real quick, what do you think my Seahawks? I know we got the draft coming up. I'm looking at linebackers and safeties, but like, the ever-ending question is, do you grab a QB? If there's one available.
Yeah, I think you always grab a QB somewhere, probably not in the first round, but I'm with you. Defensive new coach in McDonald, defensive guy. I imagine they'll go defense on that side of the ball.
Maybe Michael Penix doesn't have to travel too far.
Yeah, maybe Michael Penix available in the second round. Who knows? Who knows?
Not a bad pick. Yeah.
All right, we got
to
roll, man.
We talked all day. Come to the show, Comedy Works, late show. Tomorrow sold out, or is the only one open. If you guys want tickets, hit me up. I got you. You know that.
All right. Thanks, buddy. I'll talk to you.
All right. See you, guys.
Adam Ray, again, performing at the Comedy Works downtown this weekend. Sold out all the shows Thursday, Friday, Saturday, except for the 9:45 show tomorrow. So my guess is it'll be sold out pretty quick here after you just came on and entertained you for the last several minutes. All right, we're way over a break. We'll take the break. What's trending next?
Here's Schlereth and Evans with What's Trending right now.
Charles Barkley. I mean, you and Charles are buds. guys hang out whenever you roll through Atlanta.
Yeah.
And, well, apparently he has the same view, a little bit stronger words, about what went down last week with the solar eclipse, as he told Pat McAfee.
A bunch of losers. That was, they're like, now, I can understand if you're like a little kid or you want that, but these adults talking about they were going through something. I said, what a bunch of
what a heel turn.
Oh, man, you didn't sign a boss.
Thank you, Angie.
Come on, man. Please stop. Come on, man. If you were, like I said, if you want to do that with a kid or something, or a science teacher want to take your class out, but if you're a grown-ass person and you built your whole day around the eclipse, you're a damn loser.
Wow.
Wow. That's harsh.
That is harsh. That's even harsher than you.
Yeah.
You know, you were kind of mocking Space Boy, but he took it to a whole nother level.
Yeah, he went the whole nother, the next level. But I kind of appreciate it. Charles is one of the great people you will ever meet. Like, literally one of the great people you will ever meet, and has time for everybody, and he's hilarious.
Well, I don't think he's going to be invited to any astronomy conferences anytime soon.
Is that the right...
Astronomy, yes, I used it right. I know. I heard one of the days I was out, I heard you guys had a big astrology versus astronomy debate.
Yeah.
There is a difference. This is astronomy.
Okay, astronomy is space guy.
Space guy.
Astrology is signs.
Correct.
Like Sagittarius.
Exactly.
What are you?
Gemini.
A Gemini?
I'm a Gemini.
What is it? Rogue, you know this stuff. What does a Gemini do?
A twin, right? We got the we're the twins. We have twin personalities or something. Yeah.
Yeah, you're an air sign.
An air sign.
What does that mean?
It means that your sign falls under the element of air.
Oh,
gassy.
You're an air sign too, Stink.
I'm a Aquarius is water.
No, yes, no, no. It's the symbol is the water bear, but you are an air sign.
I'm guessing.
That's why you guys are so spacey.
Ah.
Okay.
So it's been revealed this morning that Bill Belichick is expected to sign a deal to join Omaha Productions.
Omaha!
As an analyst. So is he going to be part of the Manning cast? I've heard some rumblings of a Manning cast type show with Bill and Nick Saban together.
Gosh, can you imagine?
Great question, Mike. I'm really glad you asked that.
If you look over here, get definitely leverage on the DB on the inside.
Day by day.
Taking away the slant route. Looking for the fade.
It should be exciting television.
It should be gripping TV.
Yeah.
We're on to Cincinnati.
Yeah, we're on to Cincinnati.
So, we have adopted the Baltimore Orioles here. And boy, were we right in doing so, because the Rockies showed us, didn't they, by jumping out to a 4-14 start to
they're
the season.
They're angry. They've heard the criticism.
Yeah, boy, they're showing us, aren't they? And so in the meantime, the Orioles, they just continue to just hit home runs, literally and figuratively. So they, during one of their recent games, during their broadcast, they had a couple of puppies on as they're trying to get people to adopt puppies.
That's in the booth. I'm Kevin. This is Onalu. Bez, a dog he'll bring in soon. Look, if you're thinking about adopting a puppy, this is proof that you can, in fact, own a dog and still do your job. We're going to do a regular baseball open. We're going to talk about home runs. Is that good, Onalu? Can we talk about home runs? Ben McDonald now and another special friend.
Lico.
Hi, Lico.
This is Lico.
What does Lico think about the Orioles' power surge?
Lico just woke up. Lico's been sleeping. They kept him busy down on the field down there, but he's excited about it.
Remember, these dogs, these are adoptable, these puppies. Somebody take them home. They're going to be here during the game, see if the Orioles can win the series.
Lico will still... Lico, that puppy's going to stay true to his name on your carpet.
Winning games, developing prospects.
Selling dogs.
Selling puppies.
Right. Can you sell puppies on a broadcast?
We're putting them into homes. We're finding...
Promoting for adoption.
Yeah, this
promoting
is not, for adoption.
Okay,
we're
this
not,
is not...
We're not selling dogs. We're...
Come get your dog.
We're promoting them for adoption.
It's not like cat juggling.
What?
That would be illegal.
What?
Cat juggling?
I've never heard of that. Mark. Okay, why don't you stop right there? I don't want. I don't want to go down any Michael Vick road with you right now, Ron Mexico. That'll do it for what is trending. I bring that to you each and every morning at 7:30 and 9:30. Our fan flyaway is trending, presented by Sport Clips. Yeah, we're giving you a chance to, along with a guest, go to a game on the road during the Pro Basketball Championships coming up in June. Now, this will be for any matchup, but, of course, we're kind of expecting our team to be there. And then you get a trip to the Eastern Conference destination to be determined. Two nights hotel, $500 of cash as well. Get to denversports.com/thefanflyaway to register. Claim your special offer from Sport Clips. And those of you who have already entered into our fan flyaway back in February to Vegas, you're already part of the club. You're already automatically signed up for this and all future flyaway contests. So good luck. As we get set, we'll outline what's up for the Nuggets-Lakers series and a prominent NHL voice. Now that we know the Avalanche playoff fate, not so high on the Avs. You'll hear next.
Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
So we're getting the Lakers.
Yeah, Lake Show.
You happy about it?
The Lakers?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm really happy. That's what I wanted.
Because understand that with the Lakers comes a lot of, like, it. There's part of playing the Lakers for the next 2 weeks. It's going to be kind of exhausting as a Nugget fan.
Sure.
You know what the ultimate result is. Probably will be, which is good, but along the way, you're going to have to just put up with a lot of Laker-related nonsense.
Correct.
You okay with that?
Yes. I mean, let's face it. If it was the Pelicans, you'd never hear about the series. So at least, yes, it will be all Lakers slanted. Yes, it will be, what do the Lakers have to do to beat the Nuggets?
Right.
It's not going to be about the Nuggets taking on the Lakers and trying to defend their championship. It's going to be about the Lakers, what they have to do. Are they healthy enough? Is this the best shot for the Lakers to overcome the Nuggets? Because, you know, it's not late in the process like it was last year as the Western Conference Finals. This is where they're beat up and they're tired and, you know, old LeBron James and old Anthony Davis off the ICU and, you know, all the other stupid things that you're going to have to hear about. But it will still be completely Laker-focused. All the coverage will. But the bottom line is they're going to cover the Lakers. But in covering the Lakers, they're going to have to begrudgingly talk about you.
Yeah.
Because you would get zero coverage. There would be, if this was Nuggets-Pelicans, nobody would talk about it. Or if they did talk about it, they'd talk about Zion.
Like, for example, so the Nuggets, two of the first four games, one here, one in L.A., is going to be on Saturday night, prime time, across the entire country, ABC. Mm-hmm. So there's one of your benefits, right?
Right.
Nuggets will be showcased. If it was Nuggets-Pelicans, like, in the first round,
mm-hmm.
I think that first game, Saturday, instead of being at 6:30
yeah.
on ABC,
yeah.
would probably have been 8:30 on TNT.
Yeah.
Or maybe ESPN. But it would have been 8:30 our time. Right. Now, how
does it,
Eastern
does it go
time.
Does it go 2-2-1-1-1?
Yes. Yes. Yes.
So theoretically, when you go to LA, you should be up 2-0.
Should be. Yes. Yes. Meanwhile, the Avalanche are going to play Winnipeg in the first round, mm-hmm. and Winnipeg will have home ice. Winnipeg clinched that yesterday with their seventh straight win. Avalanche still relaxed until tomorrow night where they play a who-cares game against Edmonton. At this point, I would just be resting, guys. I wouldn't care.
Mm-hmm.
There's absolutely nothing to play for. But as far as the Avs and level of confidence, Paul Bissonnette from TNT, Spittin' Chiclets podcast, doesn't feel good about the Avs going into the playoffs.
Going back to the last run, I feel like they scored their way out of trouble where they had that secondary scoring and they had that second line with Kadri. And if you want to talk goalies, what's their next biggest issue? Listen, Mittelstad's been solid since he's been here, but he ain't the answer for Kadri. Even so much so where now they've bumped down and separated the two-headed monster with him and Ratanen.
God, I can't get past now.
Right.
It sounds like he's like...
Did you hear him say separated?
It's like he's gritting his teeth while he's talking.
Quadri, and they haven't been able to separate.
But how he said it aside, what he said, I'm not as down on the Yavs supporting cast as he is. I mean, I have been banging the drum for the last 2 years that the Yavs haven't done a good enough job since winning the cup with their supporting cast, but I'm at least willing to give this group the benefit of the doubt to see what they could do in the playoffs. I'm not like a lot of, I guess, Avs media fans that reacted to the post-trade moves in the absolutes that we heard. Oh, mm-hmm. Well, they found their second-line center for the next 6 years in Casey Mittelstadt. Whoa. can he go out and prove it in the playoffs before we anoint him as the solution at the second-line center? But let's give this group a chance to show what they can do, but understand, man, it still remains, besides the goaltending, it still remains the biggest issue. What kind of help will the core of this hockey team get during the playoffs from their supporting cast?
Let me ask you a question. I know it's a throwaway game, Edmonton, this last game.
Mm-hmm.
Who starts in the between the pipes?
I think they already said it was going to be Onanen. Just and Bednar made a point not to read too much into it,
mm-hmm.
You know, but I don't know. At this point,
if Onanen...
You think he's getting a chance to audition?
I think there's questions, man. I think they have questions.
I think it'll be Georgiev between the pipes for game one. But...
On a short leash?
Very short leash. Yep. On the RamosLaw.com text line, I love this. I hadn't thought about this, but we've been getting some of these texts because some people don't get a chance to listen to our show until later.
Mm-hmm.
And so they pick up the podcast. And so while we're wrapping up our fourth hour, they're only into like the second hour of our show and they're responding to us now.
You're right. Okay.
So here's one. Guys, I'm listening to the podcast. I'm about to find out that you guys don't know what a mammal is and that birds don't give milk. I'm scared. Ben in City Park West.
I know what a mammal is.
Yeah, but you thought that... So we have a mother goose, literally. Mother goose is outside our main doors here as she has been nesting with her eggs for the last several weeks, few weeks. She's getting ready. You can tell she's getting close, but it's really been remarkable to watch. I'm not going to lie. I've been really fascinated by, I mean, I know it happens gazillions of times every single day out there in nature, but we're watching it every single day, and it's been kind of cool. But Mark, in his infinite one-of-one way, wondered if when these baby goslings are born, will they be feeding off of
the teat.
Mother goose's teat?
Yeah, I thought maybe she'd produce some milk, give those little buggers a nice little squirt.
Yeah.
But no, apparently she got to chew up food, regurgitate it.
Uh-huh.
Kind of animals are these birds? It's awful. And just spit it up in their mouths.
By the way, can you on the way out, when we walk out, first of all, we'll say hi to Mother Goose.
Uh-huh.
I walked out yesterday. I really felt bad because she sits there, and as the day moves along, she's out there in the sun.
Right.
And I could tell she was kind of hot because her beak was open, and she was kind of like, you could tell she was kind of breathing heavy.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, the husband.
Oh, my God.
You've got to get a picture of the husband if he's out there. Describe the husband.
Dad. He's looking at himself in the mirror, in the window, the reflection of the window. He has no idea what he's doing. He's completely overwhelmed. And he's just looking at himself like, I don't know. I thought that, but there was part of me that was like, he's protected mama bird. Like, what are you doing?
No.
What are you doing wandering around my woman?
No.
You know?
Nope.
But no, he is, you're right. He's just like, what I got myself into.
What have I done?
So anyhow.
Why didn't I wrap it up? Come on, man.
So
right.
I did a little fact checking.
Can I say that?
Okay, go ahead.
Go.
So geese don't regurgitate their food to their babies. They don't feed their babies at all. The geese babies, they just grow up
They're on their own?
They grow up so fast that they're able to collect food themselves.
So from the moment they crack the egg, they're on their own.
I guess so. The job of the mom is just to protect them until...
Protect them? But yeah. They got to find their own scraps.
Yeah.
Their own June bugs. I bet you a June bug is like a... That's like a
delicacy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You find a June bug?
Yeah. It's like filet. It's like a filet mignon.
Yeah, it's like a... It's like a medium rare filet, Pittsburgh style. So it's a little crusty on the outside, right? But when you break into it, it's juicy, melt in your mouth.
Yeah,
it makes a sound.
It would be like the tomahawk for a
tomahawk
for a gooseling.
That'd be like a dragonfly.
Yeah,
you sit around with your mouth open and wait till it flies.
Tasty,
delicious.
All right. Well, we're gonna go say hi to Mother Goose.
Yeah, we are.
See how Mother Goose is doing. We're big fans of Mother Goose. Wishing her well. We wish Dover and Stokewell, they are coming up next.